As we continue our walk through Colossians and this word that the Holy Spirit directed St. Paul to write for our benefit, we consider specifically verse 8 of chapter 2. St. Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we hear St. Paul really sort of touching specifically on the teachings that were plaguing the Colossian church. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. The false teachers that were coming to the Colossians were confusing law and gospel. They were trying to teach the congregation to find their comfort, well, in themselves, that they could be strong enough, that they could be faithful enough, that they could be wise enough, that they could find this mysterious knowledge, and, well, they weren't pointing the people to Christ. And that was leading them into captivity. Captivity of a philosophy. See that no one takes you captive, St. Paul says. And that's how we should remember that the teachings of the devil in the world, how they work. The devil tries to take us captive. And remember how tricky and smart the devil can be. These elemental spirits, St. Paul warns. We need to remember how tricky they are. Because you see, the worst kind of captivity is the one that you don't know you are in. When the devil convinces us or tricks us or the world makes us think that we are free, but when in actuality we're enslaved. This is what St. Paul is trying to remind the Colossians and us, that captivity to our wants, captivity to our desires, captivity to our ideas of how life should go is really a prison. Paul correctly points out that our sinful flesh is death. Our sinful flesh, he says, we are dead in our trespasses. That's how we were when God found us. Dead. Paul correctly points out, he says, our fallen desires, all that which desires things contrary to God's word and God's will, all those desires and the carrying out of sin is a prison. However, the devil likes to sell captivity as freedom. Just take a look around us in this world. People who live lives contrary to God's design for marriage. They think they're really free. They think doing what they want is a way to find freedom, but the scriptures say they're slaves to their passions. They can't control themselves. And remember, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Or in even an orderly society, there are many who are promoting chaos and trying to stir our world into madness. In one of the Batman movies, I can't remember which one, Batman is, he's sitting and he's seeing all the things that the Joker is doing, all the chaos he's causing in Gotham City. Batman, he can't figure it out. He's trying to wrap his mind around all the murder. He couldn't figure it out. He says, "Why is the Joker doing this?" And his trusty butler, Alfred, says, "Well, some men just want to watch the world burn." Chaos, darkness, disobeying God's word, this is all the fruit of the elemental spirits of the world that St. Paul warns you and says, don't become captive to them. by thinking that in indulging in sin or carrying out sin is freedom. But let's be honest. You aren't always so willing to rein in your sinful passions either. Whether it be that of gossip, or pride, or lust, or coveting the things of this world, it sometimes feels freeing to indulge those thoughts, doesn't it? But what looks to give freedom to the flesh, God warns you, is actually a prison. Now, you may have a pet sin. You may have been carrying around in your conscience a particularly heavy temptation that seems to get you often. The first step in fighting that temptation we hear today from Christ and His disciples is that of prayer. That's what we hear in our gospel. Jesus' disciples, by faith, they recognize, they know, the Holy Spirit has taught them that you cannot fight the devil on your own. You cannot win against your conscience on your own. You cannot battle the devil without the Holy Spirit. That's why the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And this is also what Paul would like the Colossians to understand. He starts out, he says, "Walk in Christ, not walk in yourself." This is how we fight against what might be a prison for you personally. A prayer to Christ for strength against a particular sin. He will hear you and strengthen you. But we also need to resist the temptation. We also need to not put ourselves in compromising positions. We need to not let our minds wander and to think that we are free when actually the devil is leading us into prison. It may be difficult. It is hard. It is a struggle. But you have a God who desires to help you. You have a God who says, "I will always give you a way out." And that way out is forgiveness. For He forgives you. Even when you have done what you know you shouldn't have done, even though you indulge the thoughts, when we call out to God for help and forgiveness, because Jesus Christ has died and taken away your sins, He always is merciful. Jesus, St. Paul tells the Colossians, Jesus has come to free you. If you do give in to temptation, if you do have that one sin that keeps producing guilt and shame, remember that Jesus has taken away your sins. That's the pattern that St. Paul is following here for the Colossians in chapter 2. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus, who Himself says, "Father, forgive them," and He does. Because Jesus knows God always gives Him what is good. And He has paid the price for your sins on the cross. God doesn't desire you to be in prison, but to find freedom in His absolution. Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit." Paul points out, remember the religion that was starting to take form and was starting to overtake the Colossian congregation. Remember, Paul points this out. Don't be taken captive because the Gnostics, remember that word, Gnosticism, they were teaching that anything physical was bad and that to escape this physical world you needed some mysterious knowledge. And they married that with the Old Testament laws. That they began to say, "Colossians, if you truly, truly want to find freedom, you need to obey the Jewish ceremonial laws." You needed to avoid certain foods. Remember the prohibitions against pork and various foods. The false teachers brought this back to the Christians in Colossae. They said, if you are truly going to be saved, to find this mysterious knowledge, if you want to escape the shame of your sins, if you want to know how to distance yourself from your physical body, which seems to always fall for the same temptation, they said, this is the way of escape. Follow these laws and they will give you comfort. And St. Paul, he specifically points this out. You see, he mentions in verse 16 the dietary laws and feasts and festivals and new moons, perhaps like the Passover meal. The Gnostics were saying, oh, in fulfilling this law, you will know your sins are forgiven. You will have this mysterious knowledge and your sins are gone. Here is where we see the Gnostics confusing law and gospel. They said you found salvation in fulfilling the Old Testament laws. But in reality, St. Paul's saying that's captivity. The Old Testament dietary laws, the feast days, were not given in order to give the people salvation. They weren't given to give forgiveness through obeying the law. God gave the dietary laws, St. Paul says, the feast days, the festivals, as a shadow of things to come. But the substance, St. Paul says, was Christ. Meaning that all the stuff that we learned in Sunday school, all this, the weird things in the Old Testament, the ceremonial laws, the festivals, the dietary requirements, Paul says those were not given to earn salvation, but to point you to one who will do it for you. To build a skeleton, if you will, of what the Messiah will look like. Remember, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law on our behalf. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So once Jesus has come, lived, and died the perfect life and death, the Old Testament laws no longer apply to us. And this is pretty tricky in our day and age, especially with how people are rebelling against God's gift of marriage. They say, well, why do you eat pork? God prohibited homosexuality and certain types of marriage in the Old Testament. He also said you shouldn't eat pork. So why do you Christians now, why do you eat pork? But why is there a prohibition against this type of marriage still? Well, this is the teaching in the part of the Bible that equips us against those arguments. These were but a shadow of things to come, St. Paul says. They taught something. They taught us Christ. And when Christ came, he fulfilled all the laws for us. But yet there are still moral laws that still stand. Christ said, I have not come to abolish the law. St. Paul says these are a shadow of things to come. When fighting in battle and in war, especially like trench warfare, when you're engaged with an enemy on the battlefield, when you saw a great big shadow go overhead, that could mean either certain death or protection from your own air force. When you see the big shadows cast by the bombers flying over, that could be good news or bad news. Imagine the relief the soldiers would feel when they look overhead and recognize the bombers as friendly. The shadows were not a frightening thing, but an encouragement to keep fighting. The shadows showed that help was coming. Similarly, in the Old Testament, the laws, the ceremonial laws, the dietary laws, they were a shadow that one would come to fulfill these completely, to free God's people from all laws. This is why we don't have to fulfill the ceremonial laws, the sacrificial laws that the Israelites did. Here in Colossians is this part of the Scriptures that we use to teach why we don't need to follow the Old Testament laws. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. St. Paul says, because in Christ, we have true freedom. We have freedom from our sin, even those sins that haunt our conscience. And freedom from death. Freedom from the assaults of the devil. We don't have to fret that the devil is smarter than us. We don't have to fret that he has more weapons against us than we do on our own. Because in Christ, the devil has been defeated. What a freedom we have in Christ and his true teachings. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. In Jesus, my dear friends, you are freed from your sinful desires. Your inclinations to only want to do what you want, to please yourself. In Christ Jesus, you are free even from yourself. You are not just distanced from your sins. Whereas the Gnostics would teach, you can get apart from your body, you can distance yourself from your flesh. Christ Jesus takes even our flesh on himself, and he dies for the sins of the flesh, so that your sins aren't just distanced from you, but completely forgiven. Your sins are nailed to the cross, St. Paul says, with Christ. Now we're still battling the flesh. We still fight against our sinful desires. We still fall for them. However, we are forgiven. Our sins do not have a hold on us. St. Paul says our battle is against anything that would try to imprison us. And Paul says then to the Colossians, he then says why it's impossible for you to be imprisoned by anything. He says, having been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Quite simply put, you cannot be imprisoned by anything because you've been baptized into Christ. God has freed you. God has flown that bomber over us. And by Christ, he has defeated all of our enemies. Simply put, by baptism, St. Peter says, you have been saved. And look at who's doing all the work. St. Paul says, you were dead, but God made you alive. He canceled the debt that stood against us. He set aside the law. He nailed it to the cross. He disarmed all rulers and authorities. You have that victory, my friends. That sin that seems to plague your conscience, take heart. Christ has overcome it. By faith in his promises, you receive freedom again and again and again. Paul points the Colossian church to the sacrament of holy baptism as the key that frees us from all captivity. All philosophy, if not first rooted in Christ and his work, all philosophy, if not rooted in the gospel, that we are saved by faith alone and Christ alone, any other philosophy will lead you to captivity. However, St. Paul says, walking in Christ by faith, his promise of forgiveness is true freedom. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. May that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.